recap for us. When did Cyclone Larry hit Innisfail and Tully, and what happened to your local tropical fruit industry?
Well, it was 21st of March 2006. It was probably a week before we started harvest. We had all the cartons and the shed stuff lined up, ready to pack what was going to be a big season. And the next morning we woke up, not only was the crop gone, but the trees were gone and a lot of the infrastructure along with it. So it was a pretty big blow, and my heart goes out to the people over there now. I know the situation's not quite the same, but it's a pretty hard thing to wake up and see all your hard work and dreams gone.
What did yourself and other farmers do in the cyclone-affected area straight afterwards?
Well, probably events like that do bring out the best in people, and I was, you know, amazed and overwhelmed by the generosity of all my neighbours and working together. Like, within a couple of days, working on each other's farms, we had all the tracks cleaned up and headlands so you could get around and you know, trees off roofs and all that sort of nonsense, just by people working together. No, nothing even organised. It was just what people did. And that was a tremendous thing. But, like, we were out without power for 3 weeks, without phones. It continued to rain. It just rained and rained and rained. Life was pretty miserable. So even though your first inclination was to get out there and try and fix things up, you just made such a mess and it was just virtually impossible to do. And there was a real feeling of despondency, I suppose, because it wasn't just us tropical fruit guys. The whole banana crop in North Queensland wiped out, all the cane crops flattened, all bridges and infrastructures and, you know, destroyed, and roofs off houses everywhere, and people really not knowing what to do. And I suppose the fast actions by the federal and state government offering some financial assistance as well as long-term promises of support galvanised the community into thinking, well, it's not all over. There is a future here. And so people did start planning ahead, and some people left the industry, some people stayed. Certainly our tropical food industry has never really recovered from the cyclone. That's the effects of the cyclone and the poor seasons afterwards. If I could offer any advice to people, it's... There's no one particular thing, but I suppose for myself, it was consider your situation, where you are in your life and your family and where you want to be in another 5 years' time, and work towards that rather than just trying to straight away make it what it was the week before the damage occurred.
Yeah, so I suppose that is one of the lessons that's been learned out of Queensland, is that, you know, rather than rushing in and doing everything exactly the same way, that perhaps things could be done better the next time?
Well, possibly. And what seems like a good idea at the time doesn't always turn out well. Like, one of my mates thought, okay, my solution is going to be I'm going to build a cyclone-proof enclosure for my rambutan trees, which is going to keep out the fruit bats and the parrots and everything else, and in the next blow, I'll... you know, they'll be right. So he invested a considerable amount of money, most of which he borrowed through a low-interest government loan facility. We've only had one crop in the 4 years since the cyclone, so he hasn't even been able to pay the interest on that through his tree crop. Fortunately, he diversified into a few other things, but he says now he would have not spent that money. He would have gone into taro and a few other short-term things, but maybe that decision would have been the right decision if we had different weather in the 4 years since. So it's hard to say. Other people have gone into, like, trellising their tree crops to give more robustness. Some people have said, this is all too hard, I'm going to go and get a job somewhere where I can have a holiday and not have to worry about it so much. So we all do it in a different way, but I think for each individual, you have to consider your circumstances, what you are prepared to do and risk, and really where you want to be in 5 years' time. Like, I still want to be on the farm, so we put our effort into it. We're still here, but I've had to diversify into some off-farm income. Fortunately, we had the ability to do that, and that's allowed us to keep here. But we've had to rethink a lot of our goals the reality of it post-cyclone. So,
My guest on breakfast is Keith Noble. He's a tropical fruit grower from Tully in North Queensland. Keith, how tough was it mentally coping after the cyclone? You know, you're flat out trying to repair everything, recover and make things better again. What suffers during that time?
Oh, I think family tensions at risk, and it's really, really important to remember that your family is probably the most secure thing in your life, and if you don't pay attention to looking after that, well, all of the built facility that you do is not going to be much use to you. There was quite a bit of effort made by the Department of Communities over here that they put in place trained people within industry organisations for sort of like stress counselling and all that sort of stuff, and that was very well appreciated by the community and utilised. I think the industry bodies really came to the fore because they could be the interface between individuals who were busy trying to just get things working again and government. You know, government had good intentions, but how that translated to appropriate action on the ground was probably best facilitated through professional intervention by industry bodies like, you know, Australian Banana Growers Council, GrowCom, all the other industry bodies. So it really proved the value of having those sort of organisations there to us. But I think the hardest time was probably 3 months after the cyclone, when it was still wet, still raining. A lot of the short-term repairs were still, that's all they were, because there was a shortage of tradespeople and building materials to properly repair roofs and all the rest of it. And people were starting to think, oh, it's never going to get better. And that's where the government assistance, especially financial assistance to enterprises, was vital, because it just kept the wheels of commerce turning and things operating in a real day-to-day sort of basis, and gradually, you know, things picked up and sort of got going again. But I think it's not the day after that people need to be worried about. It's probably a few weeks to a few months afterwards that that the real human stress starts to emerge.
Yeah, well, Keith Noble, we appreciate you joining us this morning and sharing your experience with us, and we'll let you get on with your day.
Good idea, Kate. All the best to everyone over there. We're thinking of you.
Yeah. Everyone around the country is. Keith Noble, thanks for your time.
Okay, cheerio.